your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. I am now switching focus a little bit more to the resources, and in this segment, the precious metals, as I am chatting with Richard Postma, aka Doc. Now, Doc, let's just quickly recap the month of April for the precious metals. You and I are recording this about halfway through the day on Thursday, so we don't know the close at the end of April, but I think we can both confidently say that gold and silver will close this month higher. Now, that is after a pretty consistent sell-off month after month. I realized that gold was due for a higher close. The last time we had a higher monthly close was back in December. But one of the arguments being for gold is that it still hasn't taken out the downtrend channel that it's in. And quite frankly, it is still below a couple longer term moving averages, like the 200-day moving average. Doc, what's your takeaway from gold's action in April and how that leads into May?
Well, you know, every once in a while, a dog has its day. And we have to have an up month. And we had, when this all started, we had about four down months, and then we had an up month in December. And then we had three more months down as far as closing lows, I'm talking about. And now we're going to have a closing high. So that's a good thing. But it doesn't tell you much. We're still in that monthly channel, which I've been watching for months. And now going forward, as far as May is concerned, of course, we have three possibilities. We get a nice reversal and gold really screams higher, which I think is the odds of that are less than 5% by looking at the monthly chart. The other possibility is that we move a little bit sideways yet, and it's a non-plus month for May, which is another possibility, and that's a real possibility, by the way, Corey. Or we have we move down again to test the lows of April, and we have a little bit of a heavier down month. Those are the possibilities. Now, if we trade a little sideways, like we did in March on the 12-month moving average on the MACD, if we do that again, we're going to probably be in the range of April. But then June could be a very difficult month if we see that happens. So I'd rather see a down month next month, and then a little bit more in June, and then maybe we get a break from this for a while. But that's what I see, Corey. But I don't see us taking out the downtrend line on that monthly chart at all.
So, Doc, what are some of the levels that you're going to be watching when it comes to a gradual or general pullback for next month, or even if it bleeds into June?
If we can stay in the area of 1,700 to 1,800 for May, it'll be an accomplishment as far as I'm concerned.
Doesn't that take out the downtrend line then? If it does hang around that 1,800 for a couple more weeks, that downtrend line is right around 1,800 right now.
Well, not on the monthly chart, it isn't. And so we're okay there. We're stuck in the middle right now on the monthly chart, on the upper downtrend, but the lower downtrend line, if you do it as a parabola. Then we're okay yet. But so you want to stay within 1,700 to 1,800, but that worries me a little bit because then June could get kind of ugly. I would rather see us move down a little bit more and not have June as ugly, because here's the key, and I've been saying this right along, Corey. We gotta work this move down on the monthly charts where we can get a sustained movement back up. And we're not going to get a sustained movement back up if we start to turn up here, because we could have play out what happened way back in 2011 and 12, where we double top, and I don't want to see that at all. I'd rather keep moving down and consolidating and then wait for the next big move up, because if we double top and then we come down, it's going to be ugly for a long time.
So, Doc, I understand that last year, 2020, gold went on a crazy run, especially in the first half of the year. And now we're working off some of those excesses, but it's already been 7, 8 months, and that's about as long as that big run to kick off last year lasted. Now, I realize 2019 gold was running higher too, but that was a bit more of a gradual rise. So when is enough enough then?
Well, I'm afraid it's going to get the bulls pretty depressed for a while. I hate to say that. And I think we're going to have to be very patient here. But like I've always said, by being patient, you're going to get some really fine buying opportunities here. And some stocks have come off to where they were, and they're decent companies and they have good management. So there are going to be opportunities, because if you take your time to purchase these and take your positions wisely, I think the next move could be the one we've all been waiting for, where it's really going to be a massive move. And I think that's going to be because of the money printing and the inflation we're going to ultimately experience. It's going to take time to work itself through the system. But with the way they're printing money now and some of the numbers we're seeing with CPI and others, I think it's on its way.
So, Doc, in your eyes, and there's a number of different reasons and arguments for this, but why do you think commodities broadly are running, but the precious metals are getting left behind?
Because, I think some of it's weather issues, it looks like. It looks like it's going to be a lousy planting season for the farmers as far as agriculturally. And the other one is a supply line issue, which may be worked out if we ever get done with this COVID thing, where we start to see the global economy opening up. So I think that's the reason you're starting to see a lot of this right now, Corey. And as we're aware, certain mines have been shut down, they will be reopening as far as some of these commodities are concerned with. But right now, the CRB is looking real good. And it's going to continue, I think, for a little while as well. Copper has just been phenomenal. And I regret selling one of my companies, which is going even higher, but I hold other copper companies as well. But I think we're coming to a point here on the monthly chart on the CRB where it's going to have to decide whether it continues its move higher or whether we topped out here for a while. And it starts to move sideways to down a little bit for a while. And we're getting close right now.
Doc, what about silver? Because silver, it held up, and it is still holding up, better than gold when you look at the last about 7 to 8 months. However, the argument was silver was really benefiting from this rise in base metal. Silver has that industrial use, and that was helping support it. I've noticed in the last, let's say, month, maybe two, that as base metals have run higher, silver has kind of been left behind now. Where does silver fit into this picture?
Silver is really struggling here, Corey. And I still feel that we have one more leg down in silver. I don't like what I'm seeing on the 200-day moving average on silver chart. It's starting to move almost sideways, and that's a real warning. It doesn't have a nice trajectory up anymore, and we've been sitting right on that thing. And I think I'm very uncomfortable with silver, and I think we have more move down in silver yet. And I still think the odds are very good that we see about $23 on silver, and hopefully that's low. If we get there and it stabilizes, then I think the worst is over for silver.
So overall then, Doc, when it comes to these stocks, it sounds like you are not being aggressive and maybe holding a lot of your cash, waiting for generally lower levels, especially with your outlook that lower precious metals prices will be here for at least another month.
Yeah, I didn't buy anything the last week or so. I was tempted, but the reason I wait, Corey, is I want to see how the month of May starts out. That'll give me a good idea on how these as far as for gold, on the gold chart technically. And that'll be a good indicator of whether I want to get a little bit more aggressive in my purchases. I'm up to about 40% now, and I've said in the past I was 37. So I'm slowly starting to take very select positions, and they're in companies that have had most of their sell-off, which I'm very comfortable with. And I know there's not much downside pressure on a lot of them. So I'm starting to buy those, and I'm waiting for about three or four of them again to correct lower here, and I'll be purchasing more, but I'll get probably more aggressive in May and June. It all depends on when the calendar turns, how that monthly chart looks to me when we first start out the first week in May.
So, Doc, last question. Are you focusing on majors, mid-tiers, juniors? Where are you watching for that drop to put your money to work?
I'm doing it in every mid-tier, large cap, and on juniors, depending on what the charts look like and whether I feel most of the selling has taken place. So I'm being very non-discriminatory right now in my purchases, and I plan on continuing that, Corey, as long as the companies I'm purchasing look to me to be very favorable as regards a number of variables.
What are some of the key variables then?
Well, it's always number one, management. Number two, cash on hand. Number three, the fact that their number of shares outstanding aren't in the stratosphere. The grade of their particular product as far as gold and silver. There's a number of them like that that I look at. And then I do my own little formula where I tell myself whether it's time to buy or not.
Okay. Hey, Doc, appreciate your time this weekend. Again, it's been a good month for the precious metals. Commodities broadly, again, very good. But it sounds like you still have some more words of caution for investors in the precious metals. I know you're getting under the skin of some of those gold bugs, Doc, but in all fairness, you have been pretty spot on with your calls, just simply looking at these charts, especially the long-term charts. Doc, thank you again for your time. Have a great rest of your weekend.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.